Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had
Hello, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Out. She is Stephanie Koenig.
Good morning.
He is Mr. Matt Weber on the board, and we are looking at a big move up here. We're down, what, 975 last night? We're up 19. It's a real number. 196. We're down. We're up 800 points in the Dow from yesterday, one-ish, noon-ish. So is that it? This is the bounce, and we're good to go till the end of the year, or are we still in uncharted territories here?
Oh, I still think we're going to be bouncing around. Bouncing around till the new year.
I think so, too. But China seems to have offered a little bit of a peace pipe with the auto tariff thing today, huh?
Yeah, question, though. I mean, do we actually import any real cars? I thought only luxury cars.
You know what? We're going to have to teach you. Do not get into this detail, which is all about the fluff.
Well, I'm sorry. Was I looking for actual
don't
facts?
Don't actually look for
I forgot about the facts.
When the facts get in the way, what are the? You're obviously not a fan of the man who shot Liberty Valance.
Oh, well, my husband always says, "Don't ruin a story with facts," but apparently, I'm going to today.
The and the legend conflicts with the facts. Print the legend.
There you go. Okay.
The so it's all about what we're doing. By the way, are you being tapped on the shoulder to go work in the White House? There's nobody left, is there? That hasn't worked in there.
No, they haven't asked me. My brother-in-law has a lot more connections to that White House, so I don't think he's getting tapped either, but, we'll see.
No. How do we get to the point where we have John Bolton and Peter Navarro making foreign policy decisions?
I mean, that's a scary point. And then the question is, and the guy who they wanted to put up for, Kelly's job, basically says no.
Oh, yeah, no, I get it.
Which I actually think was a smart idea, but nevertheless.
Well, he has triplets, but still, he had triplets before.
Well, he had triplets and he was in the VP's office, so yeah. Which is not as demanding by any means, but maybe that says something about how he couldn't control or even influence his boss.
Well, I don't think you're going to.
No. I think it's pretty much you have to work around whatever comes out.
Well, we had a huge, let's put it this way. Coincidental to the big sell-off yesterday was the Brexit vote being pulled. And we came flying back, and now we're up today. I can't, there's so much stuff hitting stuff, it's very difficult for me to even figure out which. I mean, you can say, coincidentally, the Brexit vote got pulled and the market went down. I don't know if that's a causative thing or not.
I think at the moment that nobody knows. I mean, if you're confused, then everyone's confused. I think, the market takes a couple days down, and then they look for some good news to bring it back up so everyone can make some money. I don't think that there's necessarily a formula at the moment.
Well, there's clearly debt problems all over the world. They're starting to pop up a little bit.
Well, we have one, too.
I mean, I'm saying a lot of the stuff that has been off balance sheet.
Yep.
I read that article last week. I buried it somewhere, but about for the first time now, we're starting to see defaults almost every month in some of the Chinese foreign currency denominated debt. And that's an issue. How big of an issue? God only knows. I mean, we've got still some problems down in Italy. We've got problems other places. You never know when that reaches a point where anybody cares about it.
No, I mean, we've got South America. There's problems down there, and then I mean, we've got the perfect storm here. We've got tariffs. We've got increasing interest rates, and we've got basically uncertainty in the White House, which has been driving financial policy directly from them, which is not usually typical, right?
So, all right, and you have what's going on in France, which has to be
disruptive.
You know, well, it's not only disruptive, but it's got to be concerning to every leader everywhere.
Yeah, well,
it's a big time riot.
Are we back to the French Revolution, where you know the peasants who are starving in the streets, and the president who's out, you know, building gold statues is finally seeing things come to roost? So the rest of the world watch France.
Michael writes in the French way to get wage inflation.
There you go.
Yeah,
it is. It's very true.
Well, it's
threatened to cut off his head.
Well, they used to do that, like, all the time.
Yeah, well, they have sharp knives.
You ever see pictures of that?
Yeah, I've seen... I went to the French Museum where they show all the guillotines and all of the hangings, all the newspaper clippings for the hangings, so they were all rendered. Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
But they use the buckets of heads.
Yeah.
Looks like your head sitting there next to Thomas's head, Betty.
The good thing is...
I don't want my head next to anyone's head.
Yeah.
No.
Well... At least not dead.
No.
Correct.
I can't imagine. I wouldn't want to... You know, I mean, they were public spectacles. Everyone would show up and go watch that. I think, obviously, we were used to a lot more violence back in that day. But I just... Even in... I think if I were used to more violence, I don't think I would really enjoy watching people get hung or heads chopped off or, you know...
Well, everybody used to go to the hanging.
Exactly. I mean, I guess it's sort of similar to the gladiators back in the day. You know, they would go and you'd watch them get devoured by some animal or some barbarian, I guess. So, you know, there were similar things in all sorts of different cultures. But it's just interesting.
And we have football.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, instead of getting your head cut off, you just get brain damage. It's very similar.
I don't know how similar it is, but it's get you to the same place, I guess. One's a little slower.
I guess so.
But it's, Jenny Allen comes out and says, we have big holes in the system we have to be concerned about. And why is it whenever people leave office, they all of a sudden get this truth protein in their DNA?
Well, you can't be punished anymore for what's saying the truth. And everyone wants to know, so you're being asked 500 times a day. And it's great to shed some of that burden, which is all of that stuff that bothered you when you were in that role. You know, I mean, you see when people quit a job, they go out and they tell everyone, oh, that place was horrible, and they did this wrong, and they did that wrong, and, you know, while they're there, if you criticize their job, no, the company's just trying to do whatever, right?
Well, when I was still writing my column every week before we were doing the show every day, I wrote a column regarding Eisenhower and the the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
It was a perfect example of when the guy leaves office, he gives everybody this big warning. You know, and I liked Ike. I mean, I was pretty young, but, you know, the guy was a big general. He was everything. But how the hell, I mean, if anybody knew about it, anybody could have kicked ass, it could have been him.
Well, what warning did he give? I'm not familiar with
that. Beware the military-industrial establishment.
Oh, okay.
It's a famous one.
Yes, it is a famous one.
And, you know, and sure enough, we all through the 60s and 70s, the constant spending on... They would fabricate some of the abilities the Russians had, saying that for years people thought all their bombers were jet-powered and they were props. And we kept making new bombers because we had to go up against this threat. There never was a threat.
Yeah.
But they controlled all that stuff. I mean, and, you know, it's not that we, you know, in retrospect, it maybe was the right thing to do because we ended up, I guess, winning the Cold War. If there's such a thing, you win that. But, you know,
I mean, in World War II, they'd had a lot of success with creating fake tanks and fake troops and all sorts of stuff and putting them in the battlefield to, you know, to mislead other countries about our strength. So was that just a carryover?
Oh, they actually wanted to build, you know, every time we built a plane, we put the next one on a drawing board.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the progression of bombers we had the B-29, which is the end of World War II. Then they had the B-36. Then you had the B-47. Then you had the B-52, all in the next, really, what, 10 years?
Was it 10 or 15,
when
somewhere
when
like
was
that.
The B-52? Debuted in the 50s?
I think you're right. I'm not sure on my plane dates, but that sounds about right based on what I know. Have you ever had one of those things fly over your house?
B-52?
Yeah.
I think I saw one in a air show years and years ago.
They're ginormous.
They're huge, oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, your whole house is like in the shade for, you know, all the time it's flying over top.
Well, that's why we're still using them.
Yeah, I know. They're amazing workhorses. I mean, and they can go incredible distances. They're, you know.
Well, when you can keep giving them a drink of water, keeping the air forever, really.
Yeah, you could.
But it's... When you have people that have... this is what's so weird about this. It all kind of hangs together, and you don't define wealth anymore as... Well, maybe you do with Mandy Weber, but... is making $100, living comfortably on 80, and putting 20 in the bank. That's not how people build wealth. It really hasn't been for a long time.
Was that ever really... That was actually about building sustainability, not necessarily wealth. It was the next generation that took, you know, the $20 that you put away and got a better life, and then took that and made something...
Oh, but the idea was you put the 20 in a bank, and you made 3%, and over 30 years, you had some dough.
Yep.
But you didn't, then it became, I'm not saying that some people don't live within or below their means.
Right.
But nobody in the middle class is. There's no way that's happening, because if there's an extra nickel, they're taxing it out of you.
That's true.
So, I mean, it became this asset thing. So when you have a situation where, you know, what if the entire, well, not the entire, but a significant percentage of the, quote, recovery since 2008 has been in assets. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We were talking on the way in, it's clearly not in salaries.
No.
Well, at some ends it is, some ends it's not. But in the middle it's not. The median is not. The average probably is doing a lot better. I'm guessing. But now if for instance, and I'm not predicting this, God, I hope not, if the market were to drop 40%, you know, where are we? the entire, or 45%, the entire buildup of
accumulated
debt, yeah. The government did to pump up all this stuff is basically gone. All you're left with is the debt.
Yeah, and at the moment we're compounding our debt tremendous rate.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to see. And it sounds like the market is starting to really take notice of that. And maybe that's a result of the impacts that it's having on China, to your earlier comment about the fact that Chinese companies are defaulting and we're finding defaults kind of left and right. You know, I mean, eventually it is all tied together, because you can't pay for something without money coming out of something else.
Well,
so
the Chinese have made, in my opinion, the mistake of driving people out of the banking system. So they almost don't even know how much debt is out there.
Yeah, they definitely did. And they thought they were controlling their money supply, but instead they really, you know, people had money and it wasn't really safe to leave it. Well, they don't have a culture either of leaving it under your bed, so they needed to put somewhere. And they found alternatives, which was basically going around the banking system and investing in foreign entities in foreign countries.
And we've done, you know, a lot of that here too.
Yes,
not to the same extent, but we have foreign banks that are underwriting a lot of the auto loans.
Yes.
And I don't know, we could use one of our Fed buddies here as to how those guys keep track of that. I bet they do still.
With all the regulatory stuff that we've got through over the last several years, I think they've got a pretty good handle on what goes in and out.
I bet they don't like into payday loans and stuff, but I don't know how big that is here.
Auto loans is a huge industry. Not nearly.
No, payday loans.
Payday loans, yeah. That's a different story. That one I don't think they have much visibility into.
And we have some clients here that I don't think they do anymore, but right after 2008, invested, had people invest. And we didn't put together a deal or anything, but
right.
People invested in firms that were doing, what do you call it, the factoring for some of the states that weren't paying.
Oh, really?
And things like that. So, I mean, there were a lot of loans there for a while that were not being done through banks.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, a lot of the banks, especially after 2008, just didn't have enough cash to really be liquid, and or weren't quite sure what regulation was going to do. And so they sort of pulled back on everything, which caused small businesses and a lot of other places. I mean, you know, loan sharks and all those people probably took in a lot more loans over that period of time than a lot of other people did.
I guess what Manny Weber really wants to be is a loan shark. What do you think, Manny?
Well, it's, you know, it's not a terrible business.
You'd probably do it on the sports end, though, guys that couldn't pay their bookie stuff.
Yeah, but then he'd need you to go and like shake them down if they didn't pay back.
I would need an enforcer is what
exactly.
She's saying.
That
might be too old. I couldn't handle it myself.
I might be too old to be an enforcer.
I'm not saying you couldn't handle it, Maddie, by yourself. I'm just saying, you know, size. You may need a little size on your side.
That's fair.
I mean, you need Luca Brasi, not Thomas. You know?
That's right.
Well, Tom, you're kind of too nice to be, you know, yeah, too much muscle. But if you put on your mean face and we get you some real tough clothes, you probably
could
pull it off.
You know, get the black shirt and a white tie.
Yeah.
That'd work.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
We'll get you some, you know, brass knuckles or
the
something
gangster
like
hat.
That. Yeah.
But what did the guy do in The Godfather? He asked the guy for a roll of quarters, put it in his hand, slug the guy?
Yeah.
What would that do to your knuckles?
I liked when, outside of the hospital, when he had the flower delivery guy just stand there and act like he was holding the gun.
Yeah. Put your collar up.
Yep, put your collar up, and he didn't have anything.
Well, now it would be to put your hoodie up.
That's right.
Well, you need to lower your pants, too. It's a whole image thing. You can't just do one.
How do they stay up? Just out of curiosity.
I think there's a whole art to it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a... The guy in the Dunkin' Donuts in Orland at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning has got the thing going.
See, I don't understand a lot of you guys how you keep your pants up in general, because a lot of you don't have much derriere. And those of us that do have more derriere, it's not about keeping pants up. It's about keeping them, like, you know, getting them to fit on. So,
yes.
You know, it's a whole different, you know, challenge.
Well, the girls in my day tried to wear their jeans so tight that most of them, and I don't want to ask how they went to the bathroom, because most of them could only really button them laying down.
I do remember that, yes. That you laid down and kind of shimmied them up, and then you, yeah.
But how do you drink a bunch of beers in the bar and go to the ladies' room? It can't be a bunch of ladies laying on the floor down there putting their jeans on.
No, after you get them on right out of the washing machine, as I'm sure you guys all know, they do loosen up a bit.
Yes.
So, especially back then, we didn't have all of the stretchy material, so it was pure cotton, and that stuff can stretch pretty good.
At Notre Dame, we used to send, they had a laundromat, so everybody sent their clothes to the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on campus, then to come back, you know, kind of wrapped up in a bag. Maddie, I'm going to say whatever they used, there wasn't a germ that got out of that place, but if you sent them a pair of blue jeans, like three sizes too large, you had to figure out a way to get them on when you got them back.
Wasn't the beer you consumed in the week between?
Oh, God. It was, no, I mean, then once you put them on, they, like you said, they loosen up after a while. But it was So, Steph, what do you do? The hardest decision right now, I mean, if for my guys, you know, that everybody's, we know we're always hedged. Okay,
yeah.
So something like this is actually kind of a good thing, because the up and down, if the extent that you adjust it, you actually can make money. You can. It's not saying you're going to. You can make money when things are bouncing up and down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. You know, we talked about, my portfolio is relatively simple. But at this point, I think having some coverage is important. You don't know what's going to happen. And the bouncing back and forth, to your point exactly, you can make some money on, you know, the ups and downs if you do it right. And there's, I don't think... It's the time to necessarily buy in and look for uptrends. And I know, at least in my portfolio, some things I'm going to get out of, but a lot of things I want to hold on to for a lot longer. So that's kind of where I am, at least with my personal portfolio. I think in the new year, once we get through the holidays, we're going to see some things clear up. Like, I'm looking to see what's happening with the Mueller probe. I think, you know, the decision on what the Democrats and Republicans are going to do with regards to what comes out of that probe is going to be either interesting or boring, is all whatever. Either they're going to stand up and do something and support this nation, or they're not. And I'm not saying that means the indictment of Trump. I'm just saying that they hold people accountable for what's happened. So I think the world is kind of just waiting to see. Plus, I'm watching in the business world, everything sort of winding down as Christmas holiday season's coming along. And I don't find a lot of people come back until about the 5th of January with much gusto. So we'll see. That's kind of what I'm looking to see changes.
The hardest thing is for if you have, say, when I talk about a market going up and down and you can possibly make money in the thing, I'll just be real simple because I'm not going to say that, that's something that's assured. But theoretically, you know, pick something like the XLE that I have in there. You could conceivably, when it was trading like 68 last week, you could have sold, say, the 69 call. I'm not saying you should have or shouldn't have, but if you did, the thing goes flying down to 64. I mean, you probably would have bought those in. You know, you'd made some money. Well, you don't usually be hanging out there. We don't. We buy something in at a few cents. We buy it in. Well, lo and behold, Friday morning, out of the blue, the thing has a huge rally in the morning. You could have sold the darn things again. And right. then the thing falls out of bed Friday. You could have bought it back again. Saying you could have once you get on the routine. I mean, but if you're doing something that's covered, you can react to it because you have more than one position. But what do you tell right now, Steph? I mean, you have a decent view of the market. What do you tell our Fed buddies that everything is in a 401k? You know, let's say there's $1 million in there, or there was, and now there's 900,
right,
roughly. Well, you know, if they're in some of the ones, it could be 850.
Right.
But, or, you know, if they're in the S&P, it's probably not 900, it's probably 9.25. So it depends on where you are. If you were FANG dominated, you're down more. You know, or yep. not, or, and then you're down less. So what do you say to that guy? You know, would you wait until it goes back up to a mil? Do you tell him to sell? I mean, there's no hedging in there. You're either in or you're out.
There isn't. And the problem is in 401ks, most of the time you only have funds to choose from.
Well, that's right.
So now you're choosing from, they did change regulations, so you can now do stocks in 401ks. But you got to be
in some.
But you got to be at a company that has set you up to do that. And you got to apply to do it.
I'll bet it's just their stock.
No, it's not.
Okay.
At least it's not at where I have my money.
Okay.
I have three different places, and two of them allow me to do it and one doesn't. So, but, you know, it's hard. The question is, where do you move your money at the moment? Asia is not really safe. Europe is under question. The U.S. is obviously not a sure thing at this point. Not that it ever is, but it's less sure than usual. So, I mean, I think at this point you're kind of pulling a lot of your stuff out of the foreign markets. Because I think that's where you're going to have a lot more risk over the long term. And I think you're looking towards, you know, some more short things. S&P, I think, is going to bounce around here. So what do people need when things, you know, consistently, when the market's good and when the market's bad? And those are, I guess, the companies I'd be looking at. You know, people aren't going to be necessarily investing in, Louis Vuitton when things are questionable, but they still need power and they still need, electrical appliances like stoves and that sorts of stuff.
Hopefully you still need Tide, toilet paper, Kleenex.
You got it. That kind of stuff. So that's kind of, I guess, where I would be.
Well, it's a whole different, you know, I listen to a lot of pontificators, which is, you know, what I do all day, and it's, when you drop back on these cliches, though, Steph, I shudder. I was a guy last week. All you have to do is be diversified.
What does that mean anymore?
Yeah, but I'm like, what does that mean? I mean, right now, if you're in, your biggest risk to the market probably is the Fed totally bleeps up. In 2 years from now, we're talking about a 6% interest rate or 7, which I don't think is going to happen, and I hope doesn't happen. If it does, every single thing you own is going to move the same direction.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, junk bonds, regular bonds, federal bonds, stacks, they're all going down. There's no diversification there.
Not in this country, and I'm guessing they're saying diversified across overseas, which fine, but it's going to affect all that, too.
Yeah, what does the European market look like if instead of negative interest rates, they're 6%? I'm thinking not so hot.
No. And then the question is there any nation at that point that will have low interest rates? I'm not sure what this kind of economy that anyone. I sort of feel like we're so tied together that what we sort of trend through doesn't mean everyone else is going to end up with, but it definitely impacts everyone.
Whenever you, that's what a lot of these economic platitudes and even the theory are a lot there. Man, how much time I had? Do I have a chance to I got one of the Milton Friedman stories was that somebody asked him one day in class, what difference, 30 seconds, if I could finish this in 30 seconds, asked him one day, what difference does it make that the government has a lot of debt? And at that time, we're talking 1975,
right.
He said it's like you own your husband.
Right.
What's the difference? The house still has the same wealth it had before.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if the government owes money to its citizens. But Milton Friedman never anticipated that half of that was be owned by foreigners.
Right. Well, China owns half,
yeah,
and Europe
program.
Owns the other half. It's a totally different story.
Yeah, I mean, so but not, how much different is the question. S&P futures, are we still up 18? So we'll be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. She's Stephanie Carney. He's Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Joel and Ken in a second. We got S&P futures up 25 now. Dow up 238. And we got NASDAQ futures up 76. Wow. Bouncing back huge. It's, if I can add correctly, that's got to be, what, 870 points in the low yesterday stuff? That's a ways.
That is a waste.
Got oil up 55 cents, 51.55. Over in Europe, we've got rallies there as well. DAX up 192, 1.8%. FTSE up 89, 1.3%. CAC around up 82, 1.7%. Screw those riders, I say. Screw them. Nikkei down 71. Nikkei's still low 21,000, 21,148. That isn't that good. Shanghai up 9 only, 0.3%. Hang Seng up 19, that's almost flat. So they're not participating in this. Maybe they'll get a bounce tomorrow, we will see. Oil up 55 cents, Brent up 53 cents. The spread is almost exactly $9. Down from the 10.50, natural gas 4.48, RBOB 1.43, home heating oil is a 1.86, and we've got gold with a definitely decent move this morning, up 3.70, silver up 14 cents. Manny, what do you got for us? Traffic Weather Sports, and I'm glad I didn't sell calls in my gold yesterday because I'll get a higher price today.
There you go, coming up on 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have one crash in the area right now. It's an accident blocking the two right lanes on the Tri-State southbound just before Dixie Highway on the southeast side, so keep that in mind. But everything else looking okay on the Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford. All quiet on the Stevenson and Eisenhower. Same with the Northside Expressways, too. So we're off to a great start this morning. Weather today, more good news. We'll actually have some sunshine, and we warm up a little bit. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 38 today. Right now it's clear and 27. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 74 as they continue the warm-up as well. Right now it's overcast and 55. In sports, Bulls actually, after their worst loss in franchise history and a bunch of off-the-court turmoil, they actually had a 12-point lead in the second half last night against the Kings, only to completely collapse, as we've come to expect. And they ended up getting blown out by Sacramento. 108-89 was the final, a 31-point swing in the second half. Suns lost to the Clippers 123-119. Hawks and Coyotes were both off last night. Blackhawks are in action tonight, trying to snap a 7-game losing streak. And Monday Night Football, the Bears' magic number is down to 1, Chief. They have a 2.5-game lead over the Vikings with 3 to play now for the NFC North Division as the Vikings lost to the Seahawks in Seattle 21-7. Chief.
It was interesting, their game in a few spots.
It was close the whole way until the end. The Seahawks got a couple of late scores.
The quarterback play was not so hot on Minnesota's part. Joel, how are you?
Doing well. I will say you guys really got the all-star lineup today.
Yes, we do.
That's right.
Look at that. You had Fiery on. How was Fiery? Was he fired up?
He had to push back, so he's calling it 7.
Okay.
I think he's
going
to be very fired.
He
wanted
to hear what I had to say, and then he wants to come out. I got it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got Kenny Polcari. I want to talk to him. He started a new gig, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
So what's going on? What do you make of all this? What do you think of the rally? The Chinese allegedly stopping the auto tariff or something as part of this?
I just think people just got caught leaning the wrong way yesterday because we took out that October 29th low, and people were looking for blood on the streets, and the market turned around, and I just wasn't comfortable being short yesterday, and just nibbled at a few longs, had no idea what kind of a response we get. I just think that the market is just going to rally a little bit. I'm looking at 2,700 in the S&Ps. Just, what would frustrate the Bulls the most and the Bears the most, right? The Bears want us to crack, that October low, go down to 2,500 in the S&Ps. The rah-rah Bulls want us to, go up to 3,000 and make new all-time highs, which I don't think is going to happen. So just the middle of the trading range, and I think I've been talking about the trading range in the market, and we've just been going nowhere. I mean, we had the decline at the beginning of the year. We had the rally all-time high. But basically, since, March, April, we've really been in the trading range. And it looks like it's the way we're going to end the year.
Yeah, I think there's definitely sellers above the market, which you didn't have for how many years? I mean, there are now.
But there's a lot of people that are underinvested. I mean, there's a lot of, consolidation is not bad for the market, but I think there's underneath supply too. And I was talking about this, with Spencer. When you have those days where, the S&Ps open up, 50, 60 points, like we did, I think it was a week ago, Monday or Tuesday. I mean, those just aren't good rallies. The institutions are not going to come in on a day like that and buy stocks. Now, a day like yesterday, where there's blood on the streets, you know, and you know, everyone is puking, then the institutions are in there. It takes them 1, 2, 3, 5, 6 days to build positions, and I think that the institutions are in there buying yesterday. It's, you know, that's what moves the markets. That's where the big orders are, and I think that's what happened yesterday. I'm not looking for a rip back to new all-time highs, but that was a good low yesterday. I was kind of hoping we were going to come in flat to a little lower this morning and be able to pick up, you know, some stuff on the cheap, but that's not the case.
We were down last night for a while.
We were, and I was hoping it was going to stay down that way, but then, you know, any kind of Chinese news, you know, the market's so sensitive to that. You know, you get some positive talk on China reducing auto tariffs, and, you know, it's off to the races. But, I mean, I hope we give a little bit back today, but, you know, we'll see. There's not a lot of resistance. I mean, Thursday's close is right back up at 26.91. So there's just a lot of air pockets in this market.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of, you know, you were talking about the sellers at the top. It's the end of the year. Everyone's always trying to close out certain positions. So it usually puts a cap on things, or at least provides some headroom up there. You know, I'm with you, Joel. I think it's going to, we're going to bounce around a bit, and it's going to be interesting to see where we end up beginning of the new year. Got any predictions for the new year?
And you got stocks like GE, you know, that are, you know, people are, you know, tax loss selling is in full swing, you know, retail. I just, you know, money moves around. And also, when I look at the sell-off that we had, I mean, they took money out of stocks that they should take money out of. These stocks with the high P.E., yep. And it switched to value. So this is, you know, it's not a flashy rally. It's not your Facebook, Netflix. The only beast out there right now is Tesla. And I don't even know what to say about that. But,
yeah, it's crazy.
You know, it was a good sell-off, if you can have that. And the market got off these high flyers and switched to value.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if that value carries into the new year and then to see what those companies do. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think anyone really knows where the next kind of value trades exactly are. We've been doing technology for the last 10 years, maybe even a little longer than that. And, you know, what's going to open up next?
I'm looking at, you know, like Apple. I mean, you know, a lot of the decline in Apple has just been, you know, analysts knocking down the ratings, you know, based on iPhone sales. And how many times have you seen that? You know, like, you know, they come off a so-so quarter, everyone downgrades it, everyone hates it. I think you've had like 3-4 downgrades in a row, and those do have an impact on the market. And then you've got underneath supply. I mean, Warren Buffett came on CNBC a couple months ago. He talked against his book. He said he wanted Apple lower so he could buy it. So you have, you know, to talk about the king of value investors, you know, making calls on Apple, you know, things, boring old stuff that, you know, I bought that, you know, that pays dividends and slow and steady wins the race. So I think it was a good shift in the market.
Yeah, China announced today they banned most of the iPhone sales. I haven't gotten the details on it yet, but
those are the old iPhones.
Long term, they need to get away from the iPhone sales. They're a service company, and I don't know if Apple TV or whatever. They got to come up with another.
Well, they're never going to get the kind of money you're going to make on the iPhones. They're not even close to that.
Well, not the margin rates, but they
65% margin or something like that.
Yeah, they've got huge margins on that. But, you know, yeah, what are they going to come up with next? I mean, they've been working on a car, I think, haven't they?
How's GM doing?
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, that seems to be like a really expensive and hard business to get into. I'm interested to see what other things are going to come up with.
Well, I mean,
do you want to talk sports at
all,
Chief?
Yes.
Spencer's been giving me some information on your Bulls there.
They're horrible.
Holy moly, you guys lost by 50 the other night?
53.
56, actually, 56. And it was the worst loss in franchise history.
Home loss.
Yes.
Is it Jimmy Butler doing anything for you guys?
He's on his second team since here.
How about my Michigan Wolverines? I don't want to talk football. I want to talk basketball, Chief. Have you seen them play at all?
Yeah, they're good.
They're spectacular because they play defense, they play offense. They have veteran guys on the team. We know how well coached they are. They're awesome.
Yep.
How could
you know who my favorite player is?
Charles Matthews.
Nope.
Who?
Nope. Not Ignas Brazdeikis from He's from Canada. He's 20 years old. Shoots with left-handed. Banger. He can nail the three. Keep an eye on that guy. I hope he's not a one-and-done, because Beeline is making the case that one-and-done doesn't work. You bring players in. You develop them over 2, 3, 4 years. Then you send them in the NBA. So, you know, everyone wants to talk about Harbaugh and, you know, football. We, like I said before, we're a basketball school.
We are now, for sure.
Well, Jay Wright does that at Villanova, too, and that seems to be a good formula. You know, you get the, instead of the five-star, you get the four-star, and he might stay for 2 or 3 years instead of one. I think that might be the way to go.
Well, I think so, too. I mean, well, Notre Dame does a three-star, but they stay 4 years.
Right, and they stay 4 years.
Kind of get you, well, not quite to the same place. But, Joel, thank you very much, buddy. SP Peters up 18. Be right back. Kenny Polcari. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. The Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. She's Stephanie Koenig. He's Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kenny Polcari in a second. SP Futures up 27, and we got NASDAQ Futures up 78, so we're off to the races here. We are way up from yesterday's downtick, and we're markets all over.
as they used to say on the trading floor, this bleep is moving, Kenny.
And it is today.
Yes,
actually,
it is.
You know, and it's very interesting. Yesterday's action was not necessarily out of line because, remember, on Friday, we talked about this, they closed them right on the lows again. It was an ugly day Friday. They closed the market right in the low. And so technically, you know, that sets itself up for a potential another flush on the next trading day. That flush feels like it happened yesterday. I mean, even though the markets attempted to rally in the morning, they once again focused on the negatives and they flushed. They broke through the November lows. They broke through the October low, which was a little bit of a concern because at that point then, you know, it kind of puts you in a new range. But then it found its footing. It caught some bids, especially in tech, in some of the defense names caught a bid, and then the market rallied. Now today you see what's happening, right? They're up almost 1%. European markets are all higher. There is some positive news today over trade talk with China and Mnuchin making a schedule to have these talks happen, and so therefore the market's going to assume that is positive. And if we could start to focus on some of the positives, then although the volatility may last, the pressure to the real pressure to the downside should probably start to abate.
So where do you think that's going to leave us for the new year?
Well, you know what, I do think, and I said this to you a couple weeks ago too, I do think that the market is going to attempt to rally. It's not going to be the strong Santa Claus rally that I thought it was maybe a month ago, but I do think that the market's going to attempt to at least get itself back up to where the moving averages are, like at the 2750 range, is where both the 50 and the 200 seem to be colliding at the moment, you know, making that quote-unquote death cross, that whole argument that they had last week about the death cross and the impending doom as a result. You know, I'm contrary to that. I actually think by the time the death cross has happened, the worst of the selling is over, and we may churn here for a little bit for the lows, but then start to move higher. And so I think, you know, as we move into the end of the year, I think the market's going to attempt to rally back to that level. I don't think it's going to get much more than that, but I think it's going to at least try to get there.
An Italian dude of contrary thoughts. That's a shocker.
We got to find
one. And then I think, you know, 2019 sets itself up for a whole nother conversation. Look, we've been deleveraging, right? This is the part I think that's really amazing to me, is that for a decade, we were into zero interest rates and, you know, the Fed was cutting, and we all talked about, okay, what's this going to be like when we have to reverse this? And we talked about it for years. You know, everyone speculated on what the market was going to do, how investors were going to react. And I think what you're starting to see is that investors are reacting a little bit. Not that they, it's surprising to me that everyone's so surprised, but the fact is that as the Fed starts to tighten, you know, not only with rates, but as they start to decrease their portfolio of products that they bought over the decade, there's going to be a reassessment of valuations, and that's okay, as long as it doesn't happen too swiftly.
Well, you're saying that if as long as the companies get a chance to essentially grow into the number,
correct.
If the pace is exactly correct. We could escape jail.
We could escape jail. Now, I guess that's always the question, right? Is the pace going to be correct? No one really knows. Because this is the first time we've done such an experiment, right? I mean, to the extent that we did it. And so no one really does know what it's going to be like. And I think that's part of why you see these swift reactions to the market. Besides the fact is that, you know, again, we talked about this, the technology allows that swift reaction to happen even faster than it would have. And so therefore, it feels more painful, it feels more dangerous. And maybe on a certain level it is dangerous because it can spin out of control fairly quickly because the technology will react so quickly, right? There's no one standing, wait, hold on a minute. You know, this is overdone.
Yeah, the checks and balances of human logic and human...
Are gone.
So...
Yeah.
Well, does it really matter? I mean, first of all, you and I, Kenny, are like two peas in a pod in what we think about today's market structure. But, right. You know, as my old professor used to say, if things reevaluate, they can reevaluate one trade. What's the difference?
I mean,
right?
You're right. You're right. You could. But I think what happens, especially in a market like this, you know, you can hear people, not so much the institutional people or the people that are in it every day, but joke you public on the street, right? The regular investor who all of a sudden is very, very concerned about stability of the market, security of the market. They don't understand the moves of the market. How can you have 800-point swings in the market in one day? To them, it's not rational. And on a certain level, maybe it isn't rational.
Well, it's getting scary, is that, you know? I mean, that's right, real money for them flowing by.
Once again, I think people are getting scared when they see the moves and the violence, the swiftness at which the moves happen. I think that causes the retail investors certainly to back off and to start to question the stability of the system. You know, that and all the other stuff we've talked about, the new complex trades that happen out there and the complex products that only add that much more risk to the system, because even though you're not in it, you may not buy those 2 and 3 times leveraged direction ETFs. You may not buy them, but just because you're in the market, you're subject to those swings, because when the people who do buy them start to unload them or unwind them and they start to fall apart, then the whole market suffers, dragging everyone with it. That's the part that I think is concerning so many people.
Well, there's go ahead, Steph.
I was going to say, you know, I was at an event last night and talking to a whole bunch of different people, and obviously the market always seems to come up. So it was interesting to talk to them because, you know, these are kind of average individuals who, you know, work hard and all that stuff. But and a lot of them are foreign, and they were all talking about the fact that, you know, we're definitely in for a correction over the next year or two. And it seems to be a prevailing thought among Joe Public that that's what's going to happen. And usually that drives or at least has an impact on what does or will happen. So it's interesting that it's becoming kind of more of a common thought in conversation.
But don't you think that when the public decides, isn't the public always wrong, right? Just when they think, when the market's screaming and everyone jumps in, that's always the top. And when they start saying, oh, my God, the price is coming, it's always the bottom.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I'm not talking about the trading of it, because trading of it, I 100% agree with you. You know, retail traders, for some reason, you know, they always, you know, buy at the high when everything's, you know, they're comfortable and they sell at the low. But I do think that the perception that they have out there is interesting, because when they start thinking everything's going to go, they get a lot more jumpy, and I think they get a lot more reactionary, which causes, I mean, you know, they're not the ones creating most of the volatility in the marketplace. But
no, but I agree with you. I think that's right. They do get jumpy, and they do get reactionary.
But you can cause the volatility, though. It's not like Steph or Kenny who's got, you know, a multi-million-dollar portfolio made up of 30 stocks, and you like this one, you don't like that one. A lot of people can just dial up their 401k today and say, I'm out of stocks.
Yeah.
Either that or, you know, the indexing thing, which I think all that passive investment, I think is going to come back to bite a lot of people in the backside as well, especially if you get into a more volatile environment. I think that passive is not going to work as well as active investing.
Yeah, and a lot of the people who, you know, the least involved individuals in the marketplace are the ones who are more passive about their investments.
Exactly.
And so it has a direct correlation.
Well, Kenny, what's going to be written if the Fed, with, you know, in conspiracy with other people, there's the term, you know, pumped all these assets back up after 2008, just like the headline in The Onion, America desperately seeking another bubble. At the end of the day, if the market corrects 40% or whatever, which I don't think it's going to. I'm kind of with you. We probably rally up a little bit to the end of the year, although I'm not so sure it's a V-shaped bottom. I don't think you said that either. You thought it was
I don't think it's a V-shaped bottom either.
What if we actually do go right back down to like 40% lower, and we got nothing but debt now? Now what?
Well, then we have a whole new set of problems on our hands. I don't think, like you though, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that if we get a little bit of a pullback, I think we will. Look, we're off 15, NASDAQ's off 15% from its high, so it's already in correction territory.
Right.
The Dow and S&P are just at 10%, so they're almost entering correction territory. So, you know, I don't think the market's going to see that big of a pullback. I think if it does at all, it probably churns down in here in the correction territory range.
Well, if we firm up right here and even hang here for a while, I'd say it's a correction well done.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
And, it reflects the higher interest rates. It reflects some things pretty darn orderly, actually.
Right.
And
there's a headline in today's journal about how Powell is trying to, you know, remake the image of the Fed, and with these monthly press conferences now, try to make it more transparent, try to make people not scared of the Fed, try to make them not scared of policy, in direct contrast to what Trump may be trying to do, or at least what he tweets out there when he starts screaming and yelling about Jay Powell and the Fed and this, that, and the other thing, is I actually think that that's probably a good thing.
Well, I think the more they get to the point where they're the umpire and nobody even knows they're there, that's what they're supposed to be.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but they're in. They're at the moment they're in a defensive mode, so they've got to get out there and say something.
They are in a defensive mode, and that was the point of that article. He's trying to get out of the. He's trying to be on the offensive, not on the defensive.
Kenny, thank you very much, buddy. We'll talk to you one more week. Then we got two holidays. All right, bud. SP okay, Futures up 22. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. She's Stephanie Coney. He's Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 23. This is after being down right about 10 last night when I looked during the halftime at a football game, maybe. football game. I still think they had Cousins. They paid too much for that guy.
I would agree with you 100%.
Fari, what do you make of this, buddy? How are you?
Good morning. We went long around 6 p.m. last night. You guys got the email on the PMT. Basically, we said configuration on the chart. Also, big reversal into a day. It was a new low on this leg. So, you know, that bounces here. Why don't we get long here? And probably it's good for, I'd say about 150 or so handles on the S&P. And then we're going to get back into, this is bear market, dead cat bounce is going to be dead cat. That's the word, dead cat, boom. And it's going to roll back down because as we predicted earlier last year, with some of the Trumpkins went crazy on me, saying this, we got a felon in the White House. It's just a matter of time. Well, you know, there's an old saying that, what do you call it? Ruby tells us, you need a lot of Persian tea. You sit back, just like Captain Tico, you drink it, and you be patient, because sooner or later, you're going to come true, you're going to be correct. And the rest of them are nowhere to be found. At my cigar club, I was telling Matt earlier, the Trumpkins are gone. We don't
really?
Know, you can't find them anymore.
Where'd they go?
Pardon me?
Where'd they go?
Yeah, where'd they go?
Well, they're just going out there with Hannity and Ingram crying together. That's all. They got to have a cry fest now. Game is over.
They're all at home crying tears?
I don't know where they went. They probably went back where they came from, which is somewhere in the Midwest.
Got it.
Remember, the bi-coastal vote was, we got a problem with this guy. And there was one thing was that, 2 years ago. This November was a resounding no. 9 million extra people voted against them. So this is over. He can't even find the White House guy, the chief of staff.
You're going to go.
Who wants with any decent CV? I wrote that on Twitter. Who wants with any decent CV, second beta, and a pedigree to have the second highest job in the nation? Well, maybe fourth, I don't know, because you got the Fed, you got also Supreme Court, and also chairman of Joint Chief of Staff, but maybe third, fourth job in the nation for a felon. Nobody wants to do that.
I think I need some...
Just remember when we told you these things. Go back to Stocks and Jocks archives. Listen to when we told you these things are going to happen, and never, ever underestimate Robert Swan Mueller III. He's not just a Princeton guy. He's a Cottage guy, man. We were the same club I was in. I understand this guy. Look how methodically he has prosecuted this war at the time and place of his choosing. To quote Colin Powell.
Wait a minute. You and Mueller were in the same club?
Yes. Cottageclub.net. Go there. You'd see it's the largest club at Princeton. Very selective, all male, and very WASP. I was probably the token foreigner there.
Remember
we had, also, we didn't have any other minorities there. I won't name any names that could be coded and say if I use the wrong language, but there were no other minorities there, period. We had maybe a token from this group or that tribe once in 5 years.
So you don't ascribe to Groucho Marx's theory?
No, go.
That he would never be a member of a club that would have him.
No, this was a tough club to get in. I mean, unless you were in squash, tennis, baseball, it was a jock club. You know, there was 120 members, about 10%? Yeah, about 10%, no, about 5% of their class got in. Because you have 1,200 last 2 years, yeah. It was 60 from each class were permitted out of the 1,200, so about 5%. This was tough. And you had to be good in, obviously, you can't be a bum, grade-wise, because school will kick you out anyway.
Right.
But you had to be in some sports. So squash, crew, baseball, fencing, so forth. If you're not part of those cliques, you couldn't get in. I came in because through the crew, because I was I was in rowing team.
All right, so Maddie, squash, crew, and rowing.
No,
and you're going to be male, so that counts.
Rowing and crew is the same.
So in handball,
fencing, baseball. We had very few football guys. They were banging their head too much. They were really getting fitted. They were at the Tiger. They were at Tiger, the Dialogue, other name of the clubs. And those guys fed the. They are the current CEOs of Fortune 500. If you bang your head enough, that's what we used to say at football games. You bring in your cognac in your back, in your pocket decanter and say, you're watching the future S&P 500 CEOs banging their head against each other. If they did that, then they're qualified to go and run the S&Ps.
So
we sat back and we were more of a gentleman.
Handball, softball, and basketball didn't cut it?
Basketball? No, basketball was in Dial Lodge, I believe. They were too rowdy for us. We had Kleinert only. Bob Kleinert was the only guy, and of course, he runs Sander O'Neill now, because at 9-12, walked in and bought half of Sander O'Neill the day after, because they needed money, and he was the number one guy for Solomon Brothers in institutional sales. Great guy. Bob Kleinert is a great guy, and is a role model. That's the only basketball player we have, but he was All-American, blonde hair. You know, he was not your typical basketball player, you know. He didn't come from the barrios, let me put it this way.
He didn't even reply to the handball committee.
No. So anyhow, so that's what COD is all about. Just look up cottageclub.net. You understand Robert Swan Muller III.
Yeah. Hey, Varian, on the technical side, how do you tell the difference when you got a day sort of like Friday where we're up in the morning and then all of a sudden the thing gets annihilated during the day? And then you get a day
Well, that was an emotional trade. Here's what you ask. You know Mueller is going to come in. There's going to be at least one filing that day, we know. So the question is, this is what you ask yourself about two in the afternoon New York time. Would you like to go home long this weekend? Look at the charts. Just cascade it down. I mean, I went to lunch, came back, what? So I wrote. I said, guys, I'll leave you alone. 5 minutes, it's like home alone. I go out to lunch, no, it was more than 20 minutes, I went to lunch, come back, look at it, what you guys done? And that was the rest of it, was just cascading down. Because selling begets selling. Now, look what happened yesterday. And we talked about it Sunday night in my chat. I said, guys, the key test is not where we are right now. It's the first hour. Well, I was off. I was wrong.
It
was second hour. It was Europe. The moment Europe closed, they bought it.
All right, my question is, you see it up, morning, we get annihilated. Now, yesterday, a day later, we get a down morning, and we come flying back, and now we're up today. We're kind of back sort of to the right place. Which one's real?
Well, none of them are, and all of them are. The issue is, do not fall in love with your positions. Gecko told you that in the sauna, remember?
Yep.
Now, the modification to that is never fall in love with your index positions, because nobody touched the stocks anywhere. Everybody's in ETF. The only game in town is index futures. 30-1 leverage, 100 delta. Why do you want to touch anything else? Okay, so you sit there and you say, okay, this is going to be good for the next couple of hours. I'm going to put some contracts on. They're going to give me 3% down. I got to put up 3% down payment, okay? And 30-1. The average contract is about 150,000 right now, 140,000. Unit, that's $1. So it's like buying, you put 5 contracts on, it's like buying a $700,000 home on 3% margin, and you have to, but remember, it's a future contract, so you have to get rid of it. It's got deliveries. You can't hold on forever. We're doing 250 to 300 ATRs, average through range. That's a huge range every day, on the average now. So, you know you can't hold it overnight. So it's like buying a house in the morning, and you know you're going to flip them at noon or before noon, but the good part is the buyers are raising their hands. So the issue is, so you're going to sell them to them. So you buy when nobody wants it, you sell when everybody wants it, and you get out. And then you go have your lunch. Maybe you take out the boat and with a couple of blondes, and you relax the afternoon.
Does that
make sense?
You didn't even bought the boat. You never even
invited. No, here's the game plan. I bought a drone. I bought a top-of-the-line drone, the DJI Mavic 2, and I decided, hell with the boat. With a friend of mine, we're joining a boat club where they maintain it. It's just like a timeshare. They maintain everything. I don't have to do anything. The moment I want the boat, I reserve it in advance, go there, get the boat out. We go out fun, fishing, whatever we want to do. But the joy is the Mavic. Why? It frees you up from the ground. There's a Hasselblad camera on it. You have no idea the videos it takes, and you're up there. You are away. It's like, well, I understand now what my dad got into flying.
What are you, a sky pervert?
You get away from the gravity.
Exactly.
You get away from gravity. You're not at risk yourself, like my, not like my dad did. Because every time we flew those P-47s and F-7s and F-14s and F-5s, that was a bomb that was...
If,
he was carrying underneath him.
If you like,
if something would go wrong, there would be nothing left of him.
Yeah, if
it
you,
would be a sudden death, as he always called it.
If you like
but
drones.
No, you don't have that risk, but you see beautiful Naples, Marco Island, all that, from 200 feet, 300 feet, 500 feet, and it's got five-way sensors. So it knows where you are. Also, you know, it has got a button to home base. It is. It, you are away from the gravity. You can do loops. You can do whatever you want with this thing. It is incredible.
If you like drones, you should check out my buddy's website. It goes under the handle Johnny FPV. He does some absolutely amazing things. He's paid to go around the world and do drone footage for all sorts of different stuff.
Oh,
it is incredible to see.
Tommy, can you email that link for me?
We'll get it to
you. Yeah, we'll put it online.
So
thank you so much.
So, Maddie, the nice little deck you have upstairs where, not saying anybody ever does this, but if... your lovely significant other would have a few of her smoking hot friends over there and decide to sunbathe with not a lot on. You might want to put a sign up there that Fari has a drone.
Yeah, this way. Oh, by the way, I can still. You remember, this is on GPS basis, right? So all I need to have somebody get that to Chicago or ship it out of FedEx, then have a base there. Then this way you can open up that window next to you. I can deliver breakfast for you.
Well, now you're talking.
So you are gone. I don't get the breakfast anymore.
I think drones are...
All you have to do, even in a freezing rain or snow, open that window, freeze to death for 30 seconds, but guess what? The drone will deliver your Starbucks.
You know, drones are illegal in Chicago.
Why?
Fly downtown?
You can't fly them anywhere in Chicago.
No. Oh, Jesus. See,
And in the suburbs...
That place is run by too much rules.
Well, depending on the suburbs, you can't have a drone over a street.
Well, so you have to only... Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, this is the beauty of Florida. They can't do that.
Well, I mean...
this is a free country.
Well, I wouldn't like being driving down
the
street.
It's a banana republic, don't get me wrong, but it's a free country.
Well, I mean, because Audrey's had... She has a drone guy that takes pictures of houses for her. So
yeah,
they have,
yeah,
like, big... And the guy says, oh, no, I can't fly over the street. Now he's got to stay over the property.
Yeah.
Well, it's personal airspace.
As a matter of fact, I have a friend who is in an appraisal business, and she said, is it possible for you so I don't have to go there? Because sometimes, remember, this is stand your ground. Somebody could meet me with a shotgun. If I'm taking a picture of them, they do repos. They look out for the bank repo comps. So they don't go inside. They don't need to. They just look at land value, look at the like a structure matching what the data they have on the MLS, and they come up with whatever else is the actual house being repossessed, and so they just look at it and say, hey, these are numbers, but they need pictures. And sometimes she's ran into people, because the stand your ground state, she has met people with shotguns. So is there any way you think you could go and take like my pictures for me? I said, yeah, but your drone, Kat, not mine. I'm not risking this high, you know, this expensive drone for you, for somebody to shoot it with a shotgun. So
no, true,
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Good
by the
point.
Way, DJI, this is made in China, okay? Oh, you should see what they built.
All right, Fari, is today going to fold or are we going to hang in there today?
No, we're going up.
From here?
We're going up. We got 2 or 3 days to go up. Once we get to a 50 bar or a zero sigma area, then watch out. And I will update you. It'll roll over. This is the beginning of problems from Grumpino. We still have Roger Stone to deal with. We have Jared. Jared is cooked. You know why? Because of Manafort. If you look at all the activity that Manafort did, Jared did, his second character or second personality. And then Don Jr. Look at Don Jr. So Mueller is watching all of them. Did you miss Saturday Night Live skit, the opening, last weekend?
No, it was
last
a good
Saturday,
one.
Yeah. Mueller is watching all of these guys.
Right,
these guys
here.
Had no clue. Here's the problem. I do believe Rod Rosenstein was, I do believe he wanted to wear a wire. He and McCabe picked the ultimate nuclear bomb for, Grumpino, by putting Mueller in there. Because they were pissed at him firing Comey. You do not fire somebody who's investigating you. I don't care what the Constitution says. If you are the target yourself, you cannot fire that guy. That's called obstruction of justice. And ultimately, that's what they're going to bring him down. It's the campaign law. and obstruction of justice. The collusion is very tough to prove, but those two are not. Look, that's what took Nixon out. Now, one more thing you watch, and I'm going to let you go, because I got to get over here. I got to coin some shekels. Tico wants a new wardrobe for Christmas. Here's the thing. There were 44 senators, ex-senators, wrote last night to, I think it was the New York Times or WAPU and on Washington Post, saying that, listen, this is like a Nixon resigning moment. We can't have the country in this mode. Look, everybody's upset. Department of Defense, the ICE, you name it, he has messed up with everybody. Enough is enough. A group of them are going to get into a bus, go to the White House, and just like what Goldwater did with Nixon, and said, this game is over. All they need, 3 or 4 senators to flip, is done. So he'd probably take himself a lot of anguish just resigning now. And, by the way, these indictments are going to immediately attach to him. So he knows he's got, as I said a year ago, we're going to see him in the orange jumpsuit. I know a lot of people laughed at me. Some of your own listeners wrote back to me on Twitter saying I'm wrong. Really? Watch out.
You have no idea.
Here's the question I'm going
to
ask you. Why does CNBC call me Nostradamus? I see these things. I see these things. It's coming.
All right, Corey. We'll talk on you Thursday, Go jogging with your drone. The idea of Corey with a drone somehow.
Yeah, it's a little unnerving.
Yes. The reason why they don't want him on the street is because they don't want him dropping on people's cars you're driving by, because they're not all that good, most of these drones.
No, I think it's most of the drivers that aren't that good of the drones.
Well, that could be.
You know, they're actually not that easy to control. People think they're pretty easy, but they're not.
I drove one for about a minute. The guy across the street from Audrey has one, and I was bad at it. I mean,
it takes a lot of hand-eye coordination and kind of a feel, which I know I don't have yet. But
practice.
Yeah. I watch my buddy Johnny do his stuff. He does racing, and he's been on ESPN with all the drone racing and stuff like that. He's awesome. But some of the stuff he does is absolutely amazing. And he loses drones every once in a while, too. It's just his are more expensive than the ones that I would have around.
Well, you can buy one for, what, $300 or so?
You can get them for cheaper than that. You can buy one for $50.
Really?
Yeah, you can get them for really inexpensive. But if you're going to do kind of the stuff he does, the high-speed competitions, and then he does a lot of video work, you really need, you know, a lot of high stuff.
Yeah, the pictures this guy was taking, Maud's place she was having, taking pictures of, it was pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
All right, comment on what Fari's view and the Washington situation. I mean, when you start digging into, at any given time, when anybody's a president, I'm not going to make excuses for this guy. If you zero in on the cadre of what do you want to call her, hangers-on, you kind of go between governments and do all this stuff. I mean, Rumsfeld had his people that guided him on the Iraq War to ruin. If you just all of a sudden put somebody, take a hard look at all these people. Every one of these groups looks to me, and this is not everything's okay with the Trumpino.
Right.
But every one of these groups, I mean, I knew they had Cohen by the short hairs the second they started talking about cab medallions in Chicago.
Because
the Russians got in there, somebody got all these things, and I'll bet they gave him some in lieu of
payment
for legal payments, and I'll bet he never paid taxes on any of this stuff. Hey, this is a great deal. You got 15 guys giving you $100 a day for the cab, and it's all cash and blah, blah, blah. Once I heard he was involved in it, I knew they had him from somewhere.
Right.
And he was going to squeal on the rest of the stuff because it's stone cold.
Yeah. I mean, it's been interesting to watch. You can kind of read personalities, even on TV. I mean, I know people can put a lot of fronts on, and what you see on TV isn't necessarily what you get. But these guys were not actors and were not paid to be in front of things. And you can kind of just tell. I mean, he's young, relatively speaking, compared to a lot of the other guys. He's got a family. He's got kids. Sounds like he's got a decent relationship with his wife, because he's making a lot of decisions to try and stick around. So it's kind of an interesting, I mean, not just stick around.
I think he's
going to
get 5 to 8.
Yeah, I think he's going to get 5 to 8, but I mean, he's making some decisions to continue to try and support his family, which is, you know, if you're just looking to save your own skin, you wouldn't necessarily make some of the decisions. Like, you look at Manafort. Manafort's making a whole bunch of other kinds of decisions, and doesn't look like a lot of his family is really a part of the equation in terms of decision-making.
What do you think the, Matt, I'd love your opinion on this as well. You think that the decision here is either tell the truth or play for the pardon? Is the pardon entered at all?
I think that's how Manafort sees it.
I think so too, but how would you know? I mean, that's my, that would be my first, would never be in a situation like that. I don't know, can you count on something like that?
Well, I mean, but look at Manafort's past and who he's been dealing with, right? He's been working with the Russians, and they have, in a lot of respects, absolute control. And so the idea that somebody at the top of the United States government wouldn't have the power to pardon him if he wanted, you know, if they wanted to, I don't think even occurred to him, because that's not the world he's been working in.
Well, what do you think? This Flynn sure came around a long way. He's had an interesting life, NSA guy, and not NSA, he was a Defense Department intelligent, right? Was that DDI? Flynn.
Flynn.
Manny, what did Wayne say he was on Friday? There's three places. There's the NSA, CIA, and what's the other one?
It's he was...
Like the DIA or something?
DIA. It's it. It's a Defense Intelligence Agency.
So I read a pretty interesting article about him. It talks about kind of his fall from grace. I mean, he was, during the Iraq War, he was one of our top generals and incredibly well-respected, and he reorganized how a lot of special forces worked within Iraq and structured it to be incredibly effective. So, you know, that was sort of his claim to fame, and then he got moved into more of an administrative role. And what it turns out is that he's really not a great administrator, and he's not a good diplomat, meaning, you know, he really couldn't support a lot of the political actions that were needed in order to run a major agency. And so he fell from grace, and, you know, Obama got rid of him for a lot of very, it sounds like, reasonable reasons. And he has held a lot of resentment as a result of that, and so sort of teamed up with the other side, started, get back to your comment earlier, you know, he got out of a job, he sort of railed against his own boss, his previous boss, and went kind of a different direction. And they said he lost his way there, and he started coming up with a lot of theories about things that were definitely not mainstream, and a lot of things that really didn't have facts to prove behind them. And then he joined Trump and found a bunch of people, I think, that he fit in with. So that seems to be the story, based on a couple articles I've read.
Well, the whole idea, can you imagine the I don't want to use a female term, can you imagine the cat fights go on between the NSA, CIA, and these other guys? I mean, they all sit at the same table together and try and be smarter in front of the president? Right? I mean, it's got to be a weird deal.
Well, I think with this president, that's what he sets everyone up for, right? So I think in past administrations, my guess is they were sort of set up to try and work together, because how many times have we been caught as a nation with our pants down when the CIA knew something, but they didn't tell the FBI, which didn't tell whatever else, right? But this president likes to set people against one another and kind of see what comes out of it. So my guess is they're definitely set up.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants this job. It seems like an awful lot of crazy. I've never seen, I mean, the market's never the same as it was before, stuff. But I've never really seen as many hot button stuff on the table. I mean, there was long term capital. There was the Argentinian debt. There was 87, there was the crash, there was the portfolio insurance. There's always been stuff that you had to be careful of, you know. Not to mention, the market just being too high or too low, whatever it was at the time.
Yep.
There's always interest rate issues. There's always, they're always there. And there's always the foreign issue, you know, when George H.W., that we're all supposed to be, you know, by the way, I like the guy. So, you know, he had a great life, and I'm glad he did the whole funeral and everything for him and the whole bit. And I think he was one of, you know, he's a real American. There's no doubt about that. But he was, you know, he was just one of these other guys.
Yeah.
He came out and watched, you know, Goldman Sachs buying 90 bazillion puts in the OEX. And then all of a sudden we heard that Iraq had raided Kuwait, and he came out and said it was a surprise invasion. Well, it wasn't for them.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, the difference with those presidents and this president is they shuck up one thing at a time, right?
Yeah.
So, and we've got, I mean, five, six balls in the air between China interest rates rising, you know, debt increasing, and then obviously Mueller probe in addition to, you know, all the other issues that have been kind of jumping out of the sky. So, I mean, with this many things in the air, the markets don't want to know what to do. And this amount of uncertainty is when things get erratic.
I'm really SP Futures up 24. I'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right
now. Trump teases important announcements now as he touts very productive China trade talks. He still got the lady in jail? Okay, I don't know. SP Futures up 22. Dow Futures up 208, Nasdaq Futures up 78. Around the rest of the world, we're up pretty good in Europe, not so much in Asia, which is kind of surprising. The X up 208, it's almost 2%.
These guys closed yesterday before we had the big rally, of course, but we're catching our footsie up 109, and because we're up again today, 1.6% CAC around up 98. That's over 2% as well. So it's a big rally over there, first one in a while. Nikkei down 71, which is surprising. 0.3% Shanghai up 9, 0.3% Hang Seng up 19, call that flat. Oil trying to make a comeback, up 60 cents, 51.60. Brent 60.41, up 44 cents. Steph, was it 6 weeks ago we thought they were going to 100? I don't think so.
No, I don't.
Natural gas down 9 cents. RBOB gas 143. There was a 30%, talk about volatility. 3 weeks ago, gas at Orland was 221. Last week it was 191. Now this Sunday it was 221 again. I have no idea what the cause of that thing to go down 30 cents for the 1 week, but I did fill up. Just
yeah, exactly.
42 gallons, 40 gallons in the Suburban. Gold up $2, silver up 13 cents. Anybody got for us, Traffic Weather Sports? How bad did this, coach feel playing under Hoiberg, being his assistant? He has a totally different view of the world.
He said that he had a great working relationship with Fred and respected him very much, and he's just trying to do the best job he can do. So, I don't know.
Yeah, they're absolute opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, he was sort of the bad cop, is how they put it, to Fred being the good cop. And obviously it didn't work, but it's not working without Fred either, so who knows. 35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We've been relatively quiet all morning on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. After a major foggy day yesterday, today it's been nice and clear and no significant crashes to report outside of an earlier crash on the tri-state. That's all clear now. Only issue in the area right now is in the western burbs. Route 59 at North Avenue, there is an accident, but everything else is looking good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, and we warm up a few degrees anyway. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 38, wind chills in the low 30s. Right now it's clear and 28 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 74. Right now it's clear and 56. In sports, as Chief alluded to, the Bulls continue to struggle. They were blown out at home last night by the Kings, except last night they actually had a 12-point lead in the second half, only to lose by 19. 108-89 was the final. Suns lost a close one to the Clippers, 123-119. In Monday Night Football, the Seahawks helped out the Bears. They beat the Vikings 21-7, so the Bears now have a 2.5-game lead over Minnesota with just 3 games to play. Essentially, Bears win 1 game, and they win the NFC North. Chief.
The PPI just came out 0.1%, as expected. What do you make of that, John? Do you believe it?
No.
That was quick.
I don't either.
I wonder what's in that, because I know, I say my significant other, she was not all that happy. She got, do you use that DocuSign stuff?
I don't, but I have in the past.
I use it all the time.
What do they charge for that?
I don't know. It's through the company, but almost all of our customers now require DocuSign for all contracts.
Because I think they've pretty much cornered the market, for lack of a better term.
It's very easy and convenient. Now, I don't know how much it costs, like I said, because I don't pay for it. But you get the contract done, and it just shoots right over to the appropriate signers from procurement and C-level or whatever, and it's just you get an email confirmation, and it's done.
She likes it, but I think she said she ended up finding some kind of a discount, but the initial blush was like $200 last year, $300 this year.
For the whole year?
Well, for one person. Though.
That's kind of a lot. Yeah.
It might be the same number if she had 10 people, but I'm saying it's very, very difficult for somebody to be a single or, a single law office or something like that. I mean, good luck with any of that stuff.
Well, it's not like you're required to do DocuSign.
In real estate business, you got
to
do it.
It does. It gets to a point in some industries where it actually is required.
Well, you can still do, they'll always accept like a faxed actual signature.
No, some of them
really?
Get to the point where they won't.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's where you get in trouble. That's where the costs get going. So
if you're driving to people's houses to get signatures, you get problems.
Well, yeah, like in my business, we could still fax something over and have someone actually sign it, but no one wants to do that because they don't want to actually have to print something out and scan it and go through that whole thing. So DocuSign has been a great sort of invention, if you will. But now, there's still the option.
How is it secure, out of curiosity? I have no idea.
Just like any other encrypted service. Yeah. Yeah.
But they do, even in the legal world, a lot of things need to be, you can walk into the courthouse and hand it to the clerk and they can dock some of it, but then a lot of it you have to put through a website or put through a certain process now. So, and there's a lot of that that's coming about. which gets to be expensive.
Well, you know, you can't bring a check to a closing anymore.
No?
No, yeah, no. Not even a certified check. It's got to be wired.
Really?
You're off by $100, you can't even pull $100 out of your pocket.
Wow. Well,
then you got to document that as a loan.
Interesting.
I mean, the bureaucrats are going to tear up this world. I mean, there's no reason for any of that stuff.
Well, is that a legal requirement, or is that just
It becomes down to the regulation, but it becomes policy of the Fed. You tell the banks this is what they want, the banks do it. I mean, they have a bunch of 25-year-old people running around making up rules.
Yeah, they do.
Trust me, there is not a single 25-year-old person that's making up a rule. Trust me on that. They might be the auditor that's coming out here making $40,000 a year, but they're not making up any rules.
But the problem is, man, they make them up as they go along.
Well, I think
trust me on that, Chief.
The problem
zero 25-year-olds are making rules.
I think the problem is that you have a lot of people who've never done anything else out there that are making rules.
Well, that could be true, but it's the executives at these companies that are making up the rules.
Probably.
Well, not probably, yeah. Guaranteed. The 25-year-olds are the guys just out of college that are making $40,000 a year that are coming on site and doing the audit. But they're not making any rules. They don't even know what the hell they're doing. They're just following a template.
Yeah, the executives where they've got, you know, a consulting company come in and saying, hey, you know, you can reduce the amount of fraud you have if you don't take checks and you don't accept any cash. You know.
Yeah, we were... Well, that's right. I mean, it's all about the, you know, the audit stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's illegal to do a trade on a trading card now. You can't do an open card trade.
How do they work on the floor then?
They, if you and I go, whatever, it's butterfly, you know, five-hour bid, and you go sold, we both put it in our machines, and when they match, it's a trade, not before.
Interesting.
And it's, you and I could, because if somebody got in the middle or something, I don't know how it could be intercepted. I guess, I mean, realistically, it's done. But if we just turned in a card saying we traded it, they're not going to accept it.
Because they used to just take the card and then they'd insert the price into the overall stream. You know, when the card was done.
But well, they don't. On the options floor, you actually put the time down.
Right, exactly. They just take it and insert it in the feed. But
right.
They don't do that anymore, huh?
No. You can't just. You got to. Everybody has a handheld. So the handheld, you put the trade in. And only when it matches is it a trade.
Are those provided by the exchange now? Or do you have to go through your clearing firm?
I think if you want anything special, which most people have, they have their own.
Got it. Because a clearing firm used to have a base kind of model.
Right, right.
You could use.
What do you think? If I walked over there and I said I want to become a market maker tomorrow in the SPX as an individual, boy, how much would they want in an account? How would you even do it? I mean, if you don't have people behind you giving you the feed of what's going on all the different exchanges. I mean, all that software, and I don't see how you could possibly...
Yeah, it's probably days of individuals, you know, versus, you know, large investment firms doing it. Those days are, you know, probably over, and this is all... every bit of this is just the way of tracking us from the, like in 84 kind of ways, but... this way of, you know, tracking all this stuff, for better or worse, all these financial transactions, it's a way of trying to make it very open.
Yeah. Do they have, like, is Interactive Brokers still down on the floor down there?
I'm not sure they have a presence. They might.
I mean, they had a bunch of DPMs for a while, but I thought that they had sold those off a while ago.
There's only about three or four people that are providing markets, anything.
Okay.
And unless you get the bigger ones. You can see the market just totally disappear today, like yesterday or last Friday.
Yeah, well, a lot of that, when you started having to do guaranteed bids offers, which I understand why they did it, but that really added the risk.
Yeah, except now they don't have to do it. They're not there. There's nothing there.
Wow.
So these guys got the job because the other people weren't giving guarantees. Now they don't give guarantees. They'll just drop off. They'll just...
Disappear.
It'll go to one bid at seven, which is an illegal market, or we used to be. But
used to be.
Well, I mean, we're still getting stuff done actually pretty well the last few days. John, how are you faring?
Oh no, not bad at all. I got a couple calls that are a little bit in the money, but if it comes down to it, I'll be able to run. I've got no. No problems whatsoever. It's actually been a nice little lift.
No, we've stayed away from the stocks we know aren't that liquid. Even
right.
In the earnings plays that I like to do, Steph, if I go to do an earnings play, and we got to do it, you know, 500 times, which, you know, sounds like a big swing, but it's not really. We're paying 8 cents or 20 cents or 30 cents for something. It's not like we're paying 10 bucks for it.
By the way, Kevin writes in and says DocuSign pays for itself in FedEx savings.
Oh, sure it does.
Which kind of makes sense. Yeah.
But you're right into the – this is when you come down to these things. I mean, Kevin's right, but he also is part of the new world. There's somebody without a competitor.
Everyone's part of the new world.
Okay. I guess we are. I mean, there's somebody.
Tom's opting out.
The old world doesn't exist.
Well, you know, it all comes down to the competition. We were talking last Friday, Steph, and I was out on a plank when we ended the show about, you know, women in the workplace and in maternity leaves and things like that. Now, and my point was, first of all, I mean, I've had a lot of ladies that have worked for me, and I think I'm about as nice as it gets with all that kind of stuff. And I believe in all that stuff. What I don't believe in is somebody from the public sector opining to somebody in the private sector how much they should pay somebody or how long to not be there. I mean, it should come from competition. It should come from people sort of demanding that and being the right thing to do. The last thing you want is have some lady sitting there 2 days after she had a kid. All she's worried about is the kid. Well, everybody knows that's not right. I mean, but now... The last thing you want is somebody running on a platform that says, I'll make maternity leave 5 years.
Right.
You know, and you all got to pay for it. Well, okay. But because none of those people have ever been a part of the you all.
Well, no, it also does a disservice to women, too, because after 5 years, how do you get back in the workforce?
Well, right.
But
so, I mean, what's reasonable? I mean, like, you know, DocuSign has done a terrific job. It's better than driving around. You know, blah, 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 especially in Chicago or someplace. We can't get from here to there. Now, but does that mean if it costs them $5 a year, can they charge $5,000, $10,000, you know, $500? I mean, what's the number? It's like a new drug. When you don't have a competitive system, and when we've had so many huge monopolies, we've got Microsoft. I mean, they've been a monopoly for how many years?
25, 30?
Yeah. So, I mean, none of these places... The theory was that when these places became monopolies, that people would immediately jump at them, and the guy who's charging $5 for the hula hoop, as soon as it's off patent or whatever, or we never got a patent, and a week later somebody else saw one for $4, to finally get down to the price where it, you know, it ought to be. These guys last forever. I mean,
so what do you guys think they're going to do? I mean, because we haven't done antitrust cases in years. You know, and yet we're having these major conglomerates just getting bigger and bigger.
I think you need to stop them from combining because pulling them apart is way too tough.
You think so?
Yeah.
Interesting. Because in the 80s, you know, they put them all together and they pulled them all apart and they made money on both sides.
Well, so. What I'm saying is if you decide, for instance, that the, CVS is, CVS Aetna, Jen? Is that who's getting together?
Pardon me?
CVS and Aetna.
CVS Aetna? Is that
yeah,
who's
I think
getting,
that's
getting together?
Who's getting together?
Well, they already bought... who's the pharmacy benefit manager they bought?
Citric?
Caremark.
Caremark. All right, so now you're going to have the pharmacy benefit manager, and the insurance company all in the same place. So what if you decide 10 years from now, God, was this a bleep storm? Look how much they ripped off everybody for. You're not going to get... dumb people like us any of that money back ever. If you decide to break these guys apart 10 years from now, that'll be, what, 10 years in court at best? Right?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, I agree with what you're saying to a certain extent, Tom. It's more you have to stop it now before it happens, before the next one happens kind of thing. Because once that, you know, horse is out of the gate, it's extremely difficult to... untwine all this stuff.
Well, how long did it take to break up the belts? A decade?
Right, exactly. That's probably the primary or the airlines.
Standard Oil? Airlines?
Yep.
And now they're all back together.
Right.
Now the only difference is there are three different, at the moment, business streams. So combining them from a technology perspective, although it's going to be complicated, unwinding that, depending on how they do it, could be more or less difficult.
Well, but
You have a whole generation. Well, you just mentioned stuff, though. You have a whole generation. And first of all, this is never going to happen. I mean, this the fix that I'd like to see. So I talk about it. It's almost like a historical artifact. Young people have never seen it any other way.
Right.
They don't understand the simple stuff. I mean, I could discuss with Manny Weber. I never argue with him. One day I asked him, what's wrong with going in and getting 0% interest on a new car? And Manny, I believe your response was nothing. Well, yeah, there is. I mean, if you're any kind of antitrust theory, if that in effect rebate only goes to their bank and not to your bank, it's illegal.
Explain that some more.
If I buy a car for $30,000,
yep,
and I get 0% financing through GMAC.
Got it. No, I understand.
Right. So if the competitive rate on the loan is say 6%.
Right.
I used to be able to on my calculator tell you that comes down to a $5,000 rebate.
Right.
But only if you use their bank.
Correct.
Well,
now I understand.
I mean, there's nothing more blatant illegal, according to the Sherman and Clayton Act, than doing that, right?
Right.
Because if your bank rate is more competitive than GMAC, you might actually take that $5,000 rebate, walk into Lakeside or someplace, and be a good customer, and they'll say, guess what? We'll give you 0%, and here's $500 back.
Right.
Out of the five grand.
Why can't you do that?
Because they won't give you the rebate. They make you go to their place.
Right, but you should still be able to go to any bank and
but you're not going to get 0%.
Well, you can tell them, you know, these are the terms I'm getting offered via this loan agency. Can you guys match? Or can you guys do better?
What I'm saying is they don't give you the choice.
Who doesn't give you the choice? You always have a choice.
You have a choice of paying the $30,000, okay, and going to your bank and paying interest, or taking the zero interest from them. It should be $30,000 or a $5,000 rebate.
That makes sense, yeah.
But it's not.
I understand. But they're looking to lock you in on
right.
that.
Because in effect, the GMAC, it's called, there's a term for it, where GMAC and GM have intertwined to essentially mess with the business of another bank. Because GM is taking...
They provide additional incentives
right.
to use them.
Right. They won't transfer to somebody else.
Correct.
Which you know, in my day, my parents' day, they would get the cash price of the car, and my stepfather would say, what interest rate do you guys have? GMAC, we're doing 6.
Right.
He'd walk into First National Evergreen Park, and they'd say, we'll give you 5.5. They give him a check. You walk into the Oldsmobile place, and he got a check. That's what a competitive market's supposed to be. We don't even have a clue what that would look like today.
Right. Well, every store you go into, they ask you, hey, we'll give you, you know, before you're leaving there, hey, if you open a, you know, an account with us, we'll give you 5% off today. You know?
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
There's always that shtick going on just about everywhere you go.
Well, I mean, wherever you went. I mean, I was at, where the hell was I? What someone was like, oh, it was Home Depot. I bought $400 worth of paint. How would you like to save $100 on the paint you just bought by having a Home Depot credit card?
Right.
I mean, it's right. Manny, how much money? You're in that business. How much money is in these credit cards? It's got to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it's astronomical. They run the world.
How is it? It's a Manny Weber question. I'm not supposed to be talking so much in my voice. But
and the merchant services providers, the payment processors and acquiring banks and all of those folks, they run the world too. And somehow they're not in the headlines, but they're making so much money, it's unbelievable.
Manny, how does the conversation go when you walk into a gas station and you say, well, if Joe Jamoke shows up here with the new, you know, Matt Weber rewards card, you got to give him 4% off on the gas. I don't know. How do people say yes to that?
Well, no, they get a payback from the company. It doesn't
That's what I'm saying.
Way.
The gas, well, it's got to be from the guy you bought the gas from.
The credit card company, I believe, has a reimbursement.
Right. So I'm just saying, if it's $2 a gallon,
yeah,
that guy's getting it for $1.92.
Which guy? Meaning the
well, for me to get my 3% back on a Costco credit card.
Yep. She's saying that the 3% is coming from Costco, not from the gas
Correct.
Station.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think it is.
I think it is, too.
Why would Costco over give me a 3% bid?
I think, whoever is Shell. On the credit card, right. Yeah, whatever. Whoever's on the credit card, they're the ones that are giving you that savings. Yeah.
They give the gas station owner a rebate,
exactly.
or a some kind of annual fee. They actually pay them to facilitate the use of their credit cards at those locations.
If you walk into a restaurant and you have one of the cards that gives 1% off on the restaurant stuff,
it doesn't come off your bill.
It does not come off. I'll bet you. $1 on Randolph that the restaurant's eating at.
I think you're wrong.
We got our bet.
Okay.
Because I kind of think that because what they're banking on, they're absolutely right. Is 9 out of 10 or even more are going to keep the balances on, and that's the game they're playing. You know,
yeah,
exactly. It's not coming out of the gas station.
It's not.
They're going to gain. They know they're getting the 16, 18, 20, 25% interest on the credit card, whatever it is,
yep.
And they're just trying to build your balance up. And they're willing to pay the gas station guy a rebate every month or every quarter or every year or whatever
to cause you to use the card more often.
I stand with my bet. You want to join in, Manny, for $1?
Yeah, I'll join in for $1.
Okay,
but we got to find an answer.
I think I know the answer. We'll have to find the answer because when you go into when they used to have the Costco cards, what's the steak place out Southside? I'll think of it. I'll think of it. But it's been there for a million years. I had an American Express regular card and an American Express Costco card,
yeah.
Which was a 2% rebate for the restaurant. And I pulled out the Costco card, and the lady says, "We won't take that one. We'll take the other one." She says, "Well, the other one, she says, "We're not going to pay that rebate."
Interesting. I don't think it works that way anymore. But I do know that American Express costs vendors or companies a lot more to own.
Right.
So it's like 2 to 3% that they pay for Visa for every transaction. So they lose a percentage. But then Amex is like 5% or something like that. But that's not necessarily your rebate percentage.
But they knew the difference between the two cards.
Yes.
Because one I got the rebate on and one I didn't.
Yeah, Amex is usually the most expensive. That's the one that usually you don't.
I'll be happy to flip over the dollar if I'm wrong. We'll see.
But on the, that's a general Amex Visa MasterCard thing. That's not necessarily dependent on what your card gives you as a, as a feature or as a rebate, as you put it, or as, you know, miles back or anything like that.
Okay. So, Jack, what are you making of the market, buddy? What are you doing? Fari says we're going to the moon from here. What do you think?
Yeah, well, until tomorrow. I'm a little cynical, like no different than last Friday, but it's just more of the same.
Well, is this China announcement? Well, we've had yet another China announcement. It's caused the market
right, well,
to turn.
Of course.
Now, is this one for real?
Oh, I wouldn't guarantee anything for real. So,
well, China may slash auto tariffs. Huge win for Trump. Auto stocks are moving.
Yeah, well, the key word is may.
Yeah, well, it's... But, I mean, you know, I wish I would have bought the spooze down 10 last night. I'd be up 30 spooze. That's a real night.
That is, yeah.
Oh yeah, you just, but it's almost like you gotta flip a coin, you know, to see, you know, the direction.
With the, Janet Yellen's warning of gigantic holes in the system. She's been out for 4 months. Everything was perfect 4 months ago.
Well,
right, that all changed in 4 months, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I was reading an article about how she was sort of deemed steady Eddie, you know, she was reliable, and now the people she's been replaced with are a little bit more of a lone wolf kind of attitude, and so it's going to be interesting to see her take on this, because I think she had just a very different perspective on the Fed's role and on what they were going to do long term, but it's going to be interesting.
Right.
Well, they all the same deal. You see, save the banks because they're in the room.
Well,
I mean, that's what you.
The banks are in the room, but we all still have to live in the land, so they've got to kind of work with both of us.
We'll just take the French approach and go riot.
Oh, there you go. And then
I think you and your buddies would be like really lousy rioters, Manny.
It's too cold. I'm not going to riot unless it's at least 60 degrees out.
I never did that, but my generation was you know, I'm going to say my generation, 2 years older than me. Those guys learned to riot for the Vietnam thing.
But they've now, the, you know, French rioting is now, with all the damage they've done, it's costing them millions and millions to fix all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So they're causing themselves more money, the taxes we're supposed to pay for. It's going to be interesting to see.
Well, we're off to the races here. $31 now. We're up on a spooze, 310, and the Dow at 99, and then the NASDAQ. Boy, I'm happy I'm kind of long here today. John, you long, I hope?
I'm long on quite a few things here. We'll see where it goes, though.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But we'll tell everybody all about it tomorrow. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.